out. Let it spill out. Let it spill out. Let it spill out from your bowels tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Bless your name. Yes, 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 yes. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us just cover ourselves tonight. We are praying. We are praying, we are praying, we are praying. And we know that when we come together, the enemy is not pleased. So we're going to cover ourselves. We're going to cover our homes. We're covering our properties. Even before we begin tonight, we're covering ourselves. Hallelujah. We are applying the blood in every situation. We are applying the blood over us, over our children. We are applying the blood to those that are at home. We are applying the blood. Hallelujah. Over this place, over this place. We have seen in the news how many churches they barge in when there's a meeting going on. We are covering this place. Will not be a target. None of us will be targeted in this place. Hallelujah. When we come in here, we are protected by the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus is against every trap and every snares. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we lift up our voices unto you tonight. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Thank you for the blood that redeems. We thank you for the blood that saves. We thank you for the blood that covers us, that protects us. Your word says that because of the blood of thy covenant, have you drawn us out of the pit where there is no water. We thank you, Lord, that we are not in a dry place. We thank you, Lord, that the water is flowing in us and through us. We thank you for the blood, Lord. Cover us under the blood tonight. Cover our children under the blood tonight. Cover our wives, our husbands. Cover our homes under the blood. Cover us, cover us, cover us under the blood. Hallelujah. Let the blood prevail. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We cast down every vain imagination tonight. Anything that could resist us from getting your word in our spirits tonight. Every spirit of religiosity, every spirit that is unlike you, we cast down every vain imagination. We cast down every vain imagination. Anything, any strongholds, we pull them down. We allow our minds, hallelujah, to be subjected to the mind of Christ tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are teachable, we are learnable. In the name of Jesus, we are teachable, we are teachable, we are teachable. In the name of Jesus, we are ready to receive. We are ready to receive. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Plant us on higher ground. Tonight we are here to be lifted up, Lord, by your word, to be lifted up by your truth, to be lifted up by your grace. In the name of Jesus, we say thank you. Thank you for the vehicle of prayer. Thank you that we are able to pray. Thank you that we are able to pray freely. Thank you that we are able to come together freely, that we don't have anybody chasing after us. No ISIS, no other religion that will enable us, that will not allow us to pray, that will not allow us to read our Bibles, that we are free to worship you, that we are free to worship you. We don't take it for granted, and we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 And I don't take it for granted that I'm standing here. I don't take it for granted, Lord. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you for touching each and every one of us, for giving us hope, for giving us peace, for giving us joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where we are weak, you are strong. Hallelujah, hallelujah. At times we want to give up, but we remember that you are the center of our joy. Hallelujah. And we go into that word that says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And we get strength from your word, and we are strengthened. And tonight we are here to pray and also to be strengthened by your word, Lord. And we thank you. We pray that you come in. And that you just be the one who is sitting on the high seat. come in and be the one who is teaching. Holy Spirit, the word says that you are the one that will guide us in all truth. So come and lead us in all truth. Be that light that shine in us. Illuminate us. Hallelujah. Illuminate us. Let there not be any blind spot in us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to read that verse. That's the verse for this month. And I'm sorry that Pastor didn't get to introduce it to us, but he still can. Usually he does that. Is there anything you want to tell us about that verse for this month?
Amen. I told you that God had given me a word for every month, and God has been pivotal to bring his people up every month on the word that he has been giving me all year long, even to the point of releasing a movie on humility right after we were closing out in humility to show that he is in a line. And God is saying to you, you've got the humility now. Now you believe, your belief system has been turned up. And so the next word he has for you is better. And the word that he gave us for this month, I want you to read it together because we are here in a meeting place to turn up our prayer life. Can we read that together? But, beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Stop right there and say, he's talking to me. Okay, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what it looks like. Just say, but. Beloved, he has something better for you. Know this concerning you. I don't know what the enemy has been trying to plant in your mind. I don't know how many times you fail. I don't know how many times you've been attacked. I don't know who's after you now. Better is going to take you over. Amen. It says, yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, things that accompany salvation. Sometimes we get saved and say, oh, what's going wrong? But here's what's going on. Better is going to take you over. No choice. All right? Get it in your spirit. And if anybody asks you, why are you so happy? Nothing changed. Tell them, you haven't seen it yet, but I got revelation that better is taking me over. Amen? Yeah. All right. Be excited all month long because from this point on, it's better. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. We're going to go forward because we want to do some prayer later on. So, and I do always talk a bit, so I'm just going to hurry up. Like Pastor said, you know, sometimes we are going through some things, and you know, a lot of times I didn't want to start talking about any circumstances in my life, but I just want, you know, sometimes people see me and they might just think, you know, oh, she has it all together. But I'm telling you, since the start of this year, I've experienced some things. And if you don't know the God you serve, if you don't know who you are, if you never had a dream, then you can't really even know who you are. You have to have seen it, you know. And we have four daughters between me and my husband, and I have two biological daughters. And my oldest daughter, she's 29. She turned 29 this year. She's not married. She doesn't have a child. And I know I've seen her further, and she has children. And I know I'm going to get grandchildren from her. So how dare the enemy should tell us some months ago that they found something in her uterus and they have to take it out. You know, and these are things which I'm like, no, Lord, that's not what you showed me. You know, we have to, and that's where prayer takes us. It takes us to a place when we ask him, when Sarah asks, you know, why am I having, it was Sarah, right? Why am I having this wrestling? And God is able to show us what we are carrying. He's able to show us what is it that we are pregnant with. And when he showed me my daughter, he showed me her with children. I see my grandchildren. So how dare the enemy to tell me that she's going to lose her uterus? And I'm just like, no, that's not true. You know, and I watch her. I saw her breaking up and crying. And I'm all the way here, and she's in Germany. And it's not a good place to be. I'm not even there to hold her hands or nothing. And they're making dates to do the operation. And I'm making date with God at nights. Amen. You know, I said if I have to stay up and not sleep, I'm going to sacrifice something. And that's what happened at times. We have to sacrifice something. You know, I was telling someone the other day, if you want to see a family member get saved from alcohol, put away that bottle yourself. You might just take one glass, but you have to sacrifice something. You can't be praying for someone, you know, in your family or something. If you are the least bit attached to that thing, you want to have some more in your account, give a bit more than your tithes or your offering. Raise an altar with what you have. So during that time, I raised an altar of prayer for my daughter. And then I told her, stop crying and believe. And the night before they said, oh, they are going to operate, I was still believing. And I said, God, I'm believing that they're not going to take out anything that you put in there. Everything you put in there was perfect. And by the time she got to the operating room, I said to her, tell them to check you, even a minute before they begin to operate. The only thing they did was look, and they said, oh, nothing. And that's what God does. He dumbfounded the wise. They looked, they said nothing. Oh, let us just, you know, make sure that you're fine. And she's fine. She's ready to be married and have children. And I thank God for that. Amen. You know? Amen. Amen. But I went through that a whole 2 weeks. And I'm coming to church. And I'm, you know, I'm praising God. And I'm believing. That's it. And he's taking us to a better place in him. A better place of understanding. And that's what I'm talking to you about. A better place of authority. We have to know the God we serve. And we have to know who we are. Otherwise, we allow the enemy to trample upon us. And we think he has every right. And he doesn't. He doesn't. He has no right. He has no authority. Not over us, not over our children. It doesn't matter how torn up, according to Pastor said, or torn up from the floor up there. He has no right over them. They are our inheritance. That's what the Lord says. Our children are an inheritance. And our inheritance are secured. Stand up. We are not defeated. Amen. We're going to look at Acts 12. And I'm starting off with this passage, even though I might not say much on it. But, you know, we are a praying church and we are gathering tonight. And I just want to just give a few pointers on this before I move forward. Acts 12. Beginning from verse 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him out the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And verse 9. that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. I'm going to rest right there. And I'm going to say this, that this was a time of the early church. And as we know, they took some of the other disciples. They took James, who was the brother of John, and we know that they stoned Philip in another passage. And one thing I noticed by reading even further, which we can, is that I'm led to believe that not much prayer was going up at that time because it wasn't even understood. Because when we read further and we look here where Peter was knocking on the door, and even though the maid went and said, Peter is standing at the door, they're praying, but they didn't believe. Because the whole concept of prayer was not yet understood. So even though they are praying, it was hard for them to believe that we are praying and it's being effective. So the authority of prayer was not even yet understood in the church. And I'm led to say that, you know, they were still new to this. Many of us, we are still trying to get accustomed to even staying awake at nights to pray or even in the mornings to wake up before work, you know, but prayer is really necessary. And prayer in the corporate body is necessary. Prayer is necessary. Whatever you're going through, whatever I'm going through, prayer is necessary to lift up our pastors, to lift up our families. It's not just about us, our children. And I know that at times we see our finances dwindling and we see our children misbehaving and we are led to just pay attention. But you know what? I've taken a passage from the Bible and it tells us about the shepherd who left the 99 to go after the one. We have 99 problems. And if only we could leave them at times and go after that one problem that doesn't belong to us, we could be a good shepherd. We could be a much better person in the kingdom. But sometimes we get so attached to our 99 problems and they weigh us down that we can't even see that someone else is beside us who need prayer. We can't even pray or know that we have the authority to pray. The election is coming up. We don't have to leave it to faith because the Bible says to pray for kings and people in authority that it will be well with us. It can be well with us when we begin to pray. Don't wait until they elect and put someone into office and then we see that we are being ruled by Pharaoh. It doesn't have to be. Prayer is effective even in that area that it can be well with us. And I'm going to speak a little bit on authority, who we are, and the vehicle that takes us there. And we're going to look at John the Baptist. So, and it's one of my favorite. I get so much from this guy. And I love him. And I tend to hit on him a bit. So, in Malachi 4, verse 5, we see that his birth was announced to this prophet. You can just write it down. I'll just go over it. And God said, I'm sending you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And this is the birth. I'm just going over, you know, before the birth and after the birth of John the Baptist. And in Luke 1, verse 16 to 17, he says, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him, which means he's going to go before Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people. And we know that here, Elijah was, we know he was a prophet before, but here they're announcing John the Baptist to come in the spirit and power of Elijah. And what we know about John the Baptist is that he was just, you know, a few months older than Jesus. So he died even before Jesus at a very young age still. But one thing which touched me, and sometimes, you know, what we do, we go over the Bible and we get some nice, you know, stories, but there are sometimes some little bits in it that we have to get in our spirit. Because here we see a man that was introduced to us as Elijah. Here we see, you know, we name our child Elijah. We have to prepare that he's going to be calling down and raining down fire. We have to prepare him for who he is, because you just don't give him a name like that and just leave him to the perils of the world, because the enemy is ready to fight Elijah. He's ready to fight Elijah. So we can't just go about as if it's another day in the office. We have to take it seriously. But Elijah came, and he didn't even really know who he was. He came as Elijah, but he died as John the Baptist. He was never called Elijah. He never rained down fire. The power and spirit of Elijah was never really exalted through him. He brought many into the kingdom, and he baptized them, but he didn't live his full potential because he didn't even know who he was. And I'll tell you how I know that. So there was a time when he got into prison, and he was, you know, just sitting there, I guess, thinking, okay, so if that's the guy who is supposed to come and he's going to restore us, then that's the guy who is going to come and get me out of prison. So at the end of the day, what he did was he called a couple of guys, and, you know, he said, so, okay, I'm sitting here, and it doesn't seem as if there's any way out. So I want you to go to that man who I introduced you to. You know, he introduced him as the Christ. Now go to him and find out, are you the one, or should I look for another? Because I'm sitting here. But he had no idea that he had the power even to break himself from that place where he was sitting. He had no idea that he didn't have to be passive in that place where he was sitting. And there's something in the Bible that showed me, and this is about, you know, stuff that we go through, whether it's fighting the same spirits that our parents fought, you know, the same demon of, let me say, cancer. They go right back and say, well, your great-grandmother had it, your grandmother had it, your mother had it, and, you know, they're coming down. And this is the same thing which happened to John the Baptist, because there was a time in 1 Kings 19 when Elijah had a problem with Jezebel. And after Elijah had killed all the prophets of Jezebel, Jezebel made a decree, and she sent a messenger to Elijah, and she said, may the gods do to me as you have done to the prophets if I don't kill you by this time tomorrow. And she wrote it down. That was a decree. So she didn't get to kill Elijah because Elijah ran. And he ran into a desert, which is a very dry place. Don't let any spirit push you in that place of dryness. That's where you encounter the snakes and the scorpions. And he got away from him. But little do we know that John the Baptist coming again as Elijah, that spirit would pursue him just the same, because his name was Elijah. He was Elijah. He came in the spirit. This was Elijah again. So what happened is Herodia, who was the girlfriend of the king at that time, was now, you know, the spirit of Jezebel is now in her. So now she was ready to carry out what Jezebel didn't carry out. So this Elijah now, as Jesus said, well, Elijah came. There was a time when his disciples asked him, when say the scribe that Elias must come first? And Jesus answered and said, Elijah shall truly come first and restore all. But I say unto you, he is come, and they know him not, but they have done to him whatsoever they listed. There was never a talk about how John the Baptist was going to die. But here, Jesus is saying, he came, and they did to him, which means he was killed according to how it was written, and it was written by a spirit. These decree, they don't just go away like that. So now Elijah is in prison because he was being pursued by a spirit that doesn't die. And this spirit is now in this woman who is ready to kill him, to carry out that plan. So what I'm saying to you tonight is that if it fought your grandmother, it could be coming again. Don't sit and allow no doctors to tell you. You have to go through that thing. The same demon that fought your mother, the same demon that fought Elijah, just because John the Baptist came in the spirit, it now killed him. I don't know if you're getting me what I'm saying. The same spirit that fought him, the same spirit he ran from, John the Baptist had no idea that this was the same spirit that was going to kill him. And he could have gotten away from this spirit. We don't have to sit still. I see a lot of people, they are posting on Facebook about cancer awareness. And, you know, they use this ribbon. We don't have to join the crowd because it looks hip. What we do is we come to Pastor, we say, Pastor, can we do a day of corporate prayer for cancer? Can we lift up and cast out that spirit if it tries to creep in here unaware, or if it's already here? Can we stand up for lupus by calling out that spirit by name in corporate prayer? Can we cast out diabetes, but in prayer? We don't have to go on social media. We don't have to join the crowd, because we are not of this world. They deal with it in a physical manner. We are here to deal with things on a spiritual manner. We can't fight a spiritual battle with physical means, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So what are our weapons? Our weapon, for one, is prayer. We have to continue to give up prayer. We have to fast. We have to have that love in us, because I can't pray for you if I don't love you. Everything I do, I even have to stand here in love. Otherwise, it's not even coming to you. I cannot have another agenda behind standing here. I don't want to stand here because I want to be seen. I'm coming with love for the people of God. So what do? We begin to understand the importance of prayer. We begin to understand that we're getting to a better place. And that's the place of authority. We're not going to give up our rights just because of fear. We can pray away that spirit. The Bible said he did not give us the spirit of fear. That means fear is a spirit. And then the Bible says again, love casted out fear, which means love is a powerful weapon. Love is a powerful weapon to cast out fear. So we have to activate, for one, that power. It is a power. We don't need anything stronger than love to cast out so many things that we find among us, so many things that we see in the lives of the believer. So what do? We begin to ask, what authority do I stand in? What is my authority really? What is the meaning of authority? When we see the word authority, what comes to mind? It comes to mind that it is the power. Let me tell you what the dictionary said. It is the power and the right to give orders, make decision, to enforce obedience. In jurisdiction, to command, to control, to charge, to take dominion. And we remember that there was a time when Jesus sent out a few disciples, like 72 of them, and they came back with joy, and they were leaping, and they say, yay, even the demons are subjected to us. That's authority. And we have it. We have it. We don't have to lay down and give up. That's not what Christ called us to do. He says, all power has been given unto me, and we have that same Christ in us. We have that same Christ in us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We just have to allow him to grow. We have to allow him to take precedence. We have to allow him to speak to us. We have to allow the word of God to grow mightily and prevail in all our situations. We have to stand in, but we have to know that we have authority. And that's the thing that bothers many of us. We don't know that we have and that we stand in that place of authority. We have to know who we are. We have to really know who we are. When the world is crying, when the world is hurting, We are there to be that plaster. We are there to pour oil into the wound. But we cannot be in that place where we are suffering like them alike. I love this passage of scripture where it, I'm just paraphrasing right now. I don't even remember the exact one. But, you know, the Bible was talking about Egypt and about the children of Israel in Egypt, and that there was such a darkness that fell on Egypt. And that darkness could be felt, which darkness in that magnitude, it means there was also fear accompanying. If you could feel the darkness, if you could touch it, it means the spirit of fear was thick right there. But then the Bible says, just a couple of lines later, but there was light in Goshen. And that was where the children of the Lord was. There was light in Goshen. Are we that light in Goshen?
Amen.
Are we that light in Goshen? Are we there to make a difference while they were stumbling around in darkness? While they were stumbling around, they couldn't even see anything. But we are able to see because that light is in us. That light is able to lead us to a place, a better place. And that's where we want to get to. That's where we're going to learn this week. We're going to learn moving differently. Finding a place of rest, finding a place of peace, finding that place where we can stand and declare that greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. Knowing that it's not wrong to stand and pray wherever we are. People would love to shut us up. People would love to put that cover over us. You know, Jesus said, can you light a lamp and put it under a bushel? And the world is trying to put us under a bushel. But I stand in my authority tonight and I declare that nothing in the world will allow my light to go dim. Amen. Don't allow your light to go dim. Be that salt of the earth. Don't let your salt lose its flavor because you're not even using it. Shake it up a bit and apply it. Do you know that salt was, you know, in the long days ago, it was also a cure to wound. It did so many things. And we are salt. We bring flavor. While others are tasteless, we look around. Those tiles, they are tasteless at times. But we are the salt. We give them that little bit that is needed. We bring that balm that comes from Gilead. Because there's still voices crying, is there no balm in Gilead? Why is my daughter still sick? Why am I still sick? Because at times I don't even know the God I serve. I still believe that maybe he has afflicted me because of something I did some years ago. Because I dated the wrong man. Because I did something. But no, that's not the God we serve. We may have opened a door. But when we begin to understand our God, we know that we can close that door that we opened. The blood is applied to us, and yes, he has forgiven our sins. But there are different doors that we opened, even when we were in sin, that we have to close them. We still have to close them and then apply the blood to keep them closed. Otherwise, they open up. In the middle of the night, we're sleeping, and I'm dreaming about my ex, and I'm married. Why am I dreaming about this guy? No, I have to close that door. It means it's still open. And that's how we apply the blood. It's a continual thing. It's not just when we ask for, you know, Lord, I come before you and forgive me. It's not just about, it's also applying to the wells of salvation, the wells of salvation. We apply it to our finances. What haven't we done to our finances? There was a time when we didn't pay tithes, we didn't pay offering. We used our money to do things, to go to the clubs, to spend. We gave it into the kingdom of the enemy. So now that we are in the kingdom of God, we cover our finances. We close those doors that we opened. There's just so many things. We have to look at them. And as we begin to understand the things that we have to do in order to enforce this thing, to enforce this thing, this authority, then we begin to understand, I can be a better wife. If only I can put away this potty mouth. If only I can submit to my husband. He didn't. Why am I using, you know, this problem from my ex? And I'm telling you, I had an, I mean, it's the grace of God that I am a loving wife. Because I've been there. Like I said before, I could write 10 journals. And maybe some wouldn't believe it. But I had a, you know, there, when you get married to unsaved people, at times you open the door for the devil to be your father-in-law. And that's what really happened to me. Not the father, but the boy. So I know what I'm talking about. You know. But then I closed that door before I invited another man in my life. So now I can treat my husband like the man he deserved to be treated. And this guy, he's just like a fleeting thought at times. I'm just like, oh, I remember something. Oh, why am I even remembering? But I know the place that I stand right now. And I'm able to pray for him. There was a time when he had suicidal thoughts. And I was the first person he called. And I prayed for him. I cast out that demon out of him. But we have to know that we have to find that love. And we have to come to that place where we know ourselves, where we know we're not defeated, where we know that we have the authority to do great in the kingdom of God because he has equipped us. He has equipped us mightily. These hands are not just to wear rings. They are to stand and hold our hands up, to lay the hands on the sick, to stretch forth our hands and change things, to decree a thing and it shall be. There's just so much. But we are all growing. And we are all growing because we really want to get to that better place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm going to, I like, you know, what I do is and I'm not going to be long, whenever I bring the word, that I also lead in prayer, a couple of prayer points. So this evening, I'm just going to ask each and every one. It might be different from you, from what you're accustomed to, but trust me, you get there, and then before you know it, you're laying hands on me and on the sick, because you're beginning to get that you know. Yeah, because God begins to trust you. That's it. He begins to trust you. And sometimes we ask, how do we know the voice of God? Who are we praying to? Do we just talk but never give him time to answer? Do we just get up and, you know, just hurry up and get in the car and just say, Lord, cover me in Jesus' name, amen. You know, or do we take time to speak to the one who can tell us what is ahead of us? Do we walk blindly into situations even though we are able to see ahead? So before I begin to pray, just take a few minutes and just take a silent moment, because I'm sure God is going to speak to somebody tonight. He's going to tell you something about your situation. Sometimes we're going through things and we are looking for answers, but we just don't listen, even though he might be telling us 20 times a day. But we want to hear a voice, which we are not at that place yet, maybe, to understand that voice or to even hear it. But he's showing us that through symbols. He's showing us that through things, through other people. Sometimes in a still time is when he will speak to us. So let him speak to your spirit tonight. Let him download something. Give you that answer that you have been waiting for. Before you make that next move, just let him say, yes, move. Or let him say, no, wait. I have something better for you. Yes, go ahead. Because if you turn to the left or the right, you will hear my voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Do not doubt. Do not doubt. Do not doubt. I will prepare that table before you in the presence of your enemy. Your head I have anointed with oil. your cup overflows. I will keep you in that straight path. Is there anything too hard for me? Why do you doubt? They that wait upon me shall be renewed in strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. It is your season to mount up. Just don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. You have been hanging on for so long. Don't lose faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us stand. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Before we go, we're just going to pray. We're just thanking God that He has spoken to us and that we know that we can move in authority. So, you know, just lift up your voices tonight and just thank Him for that place that He has put. Just thank Him for even reminding you that you're not defeated. Thank Him for reminding you that by His stripes you are healed, that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and that every tongue that rises up to condemn you, He has given you the power to condemn. Yes. 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 Every time there's a time for elevation, the enemy will come and remind you of who you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He did that with the high priest. He was standing there ready to accuse. Hallelujah. Close your ears to the accusation of the enemy. Hallelujah. He only comes when there's something better for you. He comes when there's something better for you. He comes when you're ready to be elevated. Hallelujah. He comes to cause confusions. He comes to cause disarray. He comes to scatter. Hallelujah. This is not His season in your life. This is the season for better. This is the season for better. We're not going to entertain Him. We're not going to give Him that time of day. He is the defeated foe, and He's going to stay defeated. We are going to stand our watch. We are going to stand on the tower, and we are going to see what the Lord is saying to us. We are going to stand in that place of prayer, because we know that with prayer, there is no defeat in our lives, that God will speak to us, that we will know, hallelujah, exactly where He's leading us. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for opening our eyes tonight. We thank You, Lord, for giving us, Father God, once again, Your word. Hallelujah. 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 That You are the God who heals us. That You are the God who restores us. That You are the God who delivers us. That You are the God who leads us in the paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. That You are the God who can give us a change of garment, even when it is spotty, even when it is dirty. That You are the God who can give us a new gown. That You are the God who can give us a new robe. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we don't have to walk around with our heads hung down. We don't have to walk around in our dirty garments. We don't have to walk around in shame. Hallelujah. We don't have to wear a garment of heaviness, because You can give us a garment of praise. We thank You for that garment of praise tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank You for that garment of praise tonight. In the name of Jesus. We thank You for that garment of praise tonight. In the name of Jesus. 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 We may be going through financial struggles, but the word says He gives seed to the sower. He gives seed to the sower. Father God, Your children, they're all sowers. They're all sowers, Lord. Let seed be in their lives. Give them seed. Send seeds from all over. Hallelujah. Yes, for the next harvest will be plentiful in their homes in the name of Jesus. The next harvest, Lord, they will not have room enough to contain everything that You're pouring out through the windows of heaven in their lives in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of depression, every spirit of oppression, every spirit that comes to weigh you down, in the name of Jesus, we bind that spirit. In the name of Jesus, every spirit that is pursuing you, like the spirit of Jezebel, the same spirit that pursued your grandmother, the one that pursued your mother, the one that you have here will pursue your children. We bind that spirit. We cast it out of your bloodline. The blood of Jesus is against Satan. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. We Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you have anything, any sicknesses in your body, could you move? Come to the front. Come to the front. Anything, any sicknesses in your body. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You want healing. You seek healing. Come to the front. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is the God that heals. He's the God that heals. He's the God of that heals. There is a balm in Gilead. 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 He sent forth his word to heal and to deliver from every destruction. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let your word of healing, hallelujah, hallelujah, mightily and prevail in the bodies of your children. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The facts, they have it on paper. These are facts. Hallelujah. You're sick. These are facts. Hallelujah. But we deal with the truth, and that is in the word. Hallelujah. We deal with the truth, and that is in the word. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, tonight I speak healing into your bodies. Tonight I speak a detachment from every spirit that comes to oppress your bodies. In the name of Jesus. 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 Every organ and every cell is accommodating, that is responding. Hallelujah, to this sickness. In the name of Jesus, we say be restored. Come back to your rightful place in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 No matter what the doctors say, we are believing. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pastor, can you please, can you just pray with, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Every spirit of depression, every spirit of oppression, diabetes, lupus, cancer, everything that comes to steal your joy, everything that comes to take you out before your time, we resist you tonight. We lift up a standard against you tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We will pray this, Lord, and we will pray this, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
It is his love that owns you. It is his blood that's cleansed you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.